I wonder if you've ever been to a place or had an experience, or you thought that the place or the experience has lived up to this reputation that it's going to be amazing. It's going to be all glitz and glamour. The people there are all going to be beautiful. And then when you get there, you get to the place, you have the experience, and you realize that the place is just garbage. Or you get to the experience, it's been had all its ramp and all its amplification, and people said, you got to go, you got to do that. And you get there and it's like, it's trash. Or if you bring a person, you've elevated a person up all your life, and this person has been somebody you put on a pedestal, and then you meet them and you say, well, that was, say what I would say, that was rubbish. It's a day where we think about what is trash, what is garbage, and what is rubbish. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are starting our six-week series on rubbish. And that specifically focusing on what Paul said in Philippians 3:8. When he was considering, when he was thinking about his life before he decided to follow Christ, and he compared his life before Christ and his life now following Christ, and just looked back at everything and said, well, that is rubbish. So more on this later as we get further on in the series. Well, it's very fitting today that we concentrate on the English word rubbish. Growing up, when we were kids, when you threw something away, you threw away the rubbish. You put the rubbish in a rubbish bin, and when you collect the bin, the rubbish was collected. The bin man came and got it and took the rubbish away. And when we were kids growing up, if you went to a place or had an experience and you didn't like it, and you thought it was going to be really good, and you said, well, that was rubbish. Maybe there was somebody we met, and I can actually hear my mother and my family saying, oh, you don't want to do that. That's just rubbish. It's not very good. It's trash. It's garbage. It's not going to be good for your life. Rubbish is our series for the next 6 weeks. What about you? Have you experienced something? You thought it was going to be amazing. You thought it was going to change your life. You thought all the people there were going to be pretty. And you get there, you get to do the thing, and you're like, this is garbage. This is just trash. This is rubbish. It's very fitting that we focus on this English word as we use it to describe what people are not. People are not rubbish. One person who treated people right, one person who was good with people, who was everybody described her as when you were with her, the only person she was focused on was you. She ruled a country for 70 years. She was born into royalty, became a queen at the ripe old age of 25. But everybody who talked about her said that she loved people. Of course, all of you know who this woman is. It's the late Queen Elizabeth II, Elizabeth Windsor. Was born into royalty way back when she was 25 years old. She's been ruling the country for 70 years, who sadly passed on Thursday. And you've seen lots of things on your phones and on TV, and you've heard lots of things about who she was and how she concentrated on leading the country at such a young age, leading the country and back then leading a large commonwealth. But one of the favorite things that Elizabeth Mary Windsor said for me was when she was reflecting on what something she said back when she was 21 years of age. She said, when I was 21, I pledged my life to the service of our people. And I asked for God's help to make good that vow. And although that vow was made in my salad days, when I was green in judgment, I do not regret nor retract one word of it. Elizabeth cared about people, and she poured in to people for the rest of her life. She realized and she lived a life that knowing that people were important. Over her 70 years of reign, I bet you she's seen some trash. I bet you she's seen some garbage. I bet you there's something she's seen and said, that's rubbish. But somehow she was able to separate what was trash and what was good. She was able to separate what was something that was absolutely garbage and that people were that were wonderful. She was able to look at the rubbish that was going on in her realm, in and around the world, and able to separate that into each and every individual person. People are not rubbish, amen? Some of you know I served in Her Majesty's Royal Navy for 14 years. Now, His Majesty's Navy, by the way. And I served there for 14 years. And I never got to meet the Queen, but I stood still for her in the freezing cold on two occasions for an hour and 40 minutes. Someone said to me, I think it was my father-in-law, said to me, do you miss the Queen? I said, no, she made me do some really weird things. Standing in the cold at the cenotaph in London every year at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, she would gather there. She would meet people, all three services, Army, Navy, Royal Air Force, Marines. She would meet them there at the cenotaph in Whitehall. The whole of London would shut down. And she would meet people with a wreath, and she would lay down the wreath there. And every year, all the armed forces would come to attention and stand there for an hour and 40 minutes. I did this on two occasions, and while I was standing there, I was at the front row both times for some reason, and while I was standing there watching, she was about 10 feet ahead of me, I thought to myself, how many times has she done this? And what kind of trash and rubbish, garbage has she seen in that time? How many wars has she been a part of? And how many wars has she been in charge of in the time, in her realm? Of course, she served herself in World War II, the Second World War, 1939, 1945. She laid wreaths and was in power when the Korean War, the Forgotten War, took place. She was reigning during the whole island conflict, which went on for like 12 years. She was there for Afghanistan, both Iraq wars, the Gulf wars. And she appointed 15 prime ministers in her time. 72 hours before her death on Thursday, when it was recorded at 6 o'clock, 72 hours before that, she appointed Liz Truss as her prime minister. So literally within 72 hours, England got a new prime minister and a new king, a new monarch. And at the prayer and reflection service 24 hours after she died, that was held in St. Paul's Cathedral, which was wristband only, by the way, 2,000 people gathered there in St. Paul's Cathedral. And the first thing out of Liz Truss's mouth, the new prime minister's mouth, was Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 12. This was at the memorial service. And in Romans 14, it says this, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Amen? And I believe that Elizabeth knew this well. I believe that Elizabeth Windsor knew these words well. In fact, the Bishop of London, Dame Sarah Mullally, said in her homily, she said that Her Majesty's life was a life lived in service of others and was a rare jewel. She says, it is this rare jewel that her late majesty, the queen, wore as a crown. She went on to say that Christ was her anchor, it was her foundation, and it was a well which she drew from deeply. King Charles III, at the beginning of the reflection, said she lived a life of loyalty, respect, and love. I will add my humble North English reflection. Basically, she was able to decipher the rubbish from the good stuff, amen? She was able to decipher what the situation, what was going on in a country, what was going on in a conflict, and yet still be able to focus on people. She realized that people were not rubbish. The Apostle Paul, he who wrote Philippians, that's what we're going to be diving into in these next 6 weeks, understood this too. He understood that the people that he met were really important and who he got on board for his mission. Of course, Apostle Paul, originally Saul, had a massive transformational moment when he met Christ on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting people, and he went from persecuting to loving people and recruiting people to minister around the basin of the Mediterranean, Greece, Turkey, and all those places where he went to. And on his second ministry journey and around the Aegean, he put this church together, Philippi. And that's where we are today. We're in Philippians. We're going to start there. Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to be. If you've got your Bible with you, open it. If it's on your phone, go there. You might want to take some notes as we go along. We're going to have it on the screen for you here if you are watching online as well. So this letter that Paul wrote to Philippi, he wrote to the people at Philippi. He says this: this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all God's holy people in Philippi who belonged to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now, the first thing to note here in this scripture is the first thing that Paul says. The first thing he says in his letter is, this letter is from Paul and Timothy. Timothy is not writing the letter for him. He's not reciting it, and he's writing it down. Timothy is with him, and Paul, in a rare pen, says, I want to make you guys know that Timothy is with me as I write this letter. He's with him in Rome. Now, he's writing this when he's in Rome in chains. He's in prison. And yet, it's one of the most encouraging letters, the encouraging most exhortation that we have from Paul. And it's a beautiful book that we're going to dive into. If you want to read it, by the way, it takes you 17 minutes. So you can like read that every week as you come here for the series. So first thing he says is Paul and Timothy. Now, where did he meet Timothy? How did he meet him? What did he like about him? And we have to go back to Acts chapter 16 to realize that when it happened that he met Timothy. Acts chapter 16, he's on his second missionary journey. He's on the journey where he will meet Timothy. I'm going to read this for you. It's going to be on the screen. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. Then they went from town to town, instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. So Paul meets this young buck, Timothy, when he is on his second ministry journey. Now, he's been to Philippi before. We're 10 years back from him writing Philippians, so we're back in time. And he'd also met Tim before because he was a disciple in Philippi. So he'd grown up in this church here, and now he met him. Well, he'd grown in his faith because at Iconium, 18 miles away, they said how good he was doing, and they gave testimony to the fact that this is the kind of guy you need on your mission trips. This is the kind of guy who's going to be a leader. Now, of note in this scripture is that his mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. Now, scholars agree that sometimes if your mother, who was a Hebrew, did not marry another Hebrew, another Jew, and you married, especially if you married a Greek, then the product of that relationship from that marriage was never really regarded. It was like he didn't really exist. It's like sent him to Coventry, sent him to a place where nobody thought like he even existed, purely because the Hebrew mother didn't marry a Hebrew. And so that's really important. Now, some of the ways Paul has been casting off the rubbish and the trash and the garbage of his life is that he's living away from his nationalism. Paul was a devout Jew. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And he had a lot of pride in that before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. This was everything. His Israel identity with everything. And yet when he was transformed, when he was renewed, and he met this guy, Timothy, he realized that this didn't really matter anymore to him. He wouldn't have picked up Timothy before. He wouldn't have said that, oh, Tim, you can be involved. But he's seen something in Tim that was much more than his Jewish identity. In fact, he made him a Jew. He made him a Jew so that the people around him, the Jewish people that he was ministering to, that he would evangelize, would understand that he was now a Jew. So Paul like dropped all of his Jewish identity and all of his rubbish so that Timothy could come with him. This is a big deal. This is a big deal for Paul to step out like this away from his national heritage. And then after he did that, they went from town to town. And what does it say? What does it say? They did what they told them in Jerusalem. The apostles told them how to encourage and how to preach and how to evangelize. And then because they were speaking like this, the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. I know you want that too for your church, for this church. You want this church to grow larger and larger every day. Amen? I know you want that. And through people being encouraged, through people being evangelized, through people being decided to follow Jesus, that's how we grow. That's how we turn, and that's how we become followers of Jesus. So that's who Timothy was. Timothy was somebody who was on fire for the Lord. The people in Iconia, they said that he was on fire, and he went with him on his mission trips. Okay, back to Philippians. Back to right at the beginning of Philippians. And we're still in verse 1. Verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy. And then it says, what? Slaves of Christ Jesus. Slaves. In other versions, in other English versions, it says servants. The Greek word there is doulos, which can mean servant and slave. And scholars are a little not in agreement on whether it's servant or slave. You have to understand that during the time that Paul wrote this, two-thirds of Rome was occupied, two-thirds of Rome was slaves. So when he's writing this letter in Rome, to be a slave, there was lots of those people. It's who you are a slave to. Paul said he is a slave of who? Jesus Christ. And he, by saying this, by saying he was a slave, he said a couple of statements. He made some statements about who he's subservient to. which queen or which king he was subservient to. See, by saying he was a slave of Christ, he said he was the absolute possession of Christ, not by his country, his Jewishness, not by his tradition, but whatever the Lord Jesus Christ said and deemed him to do, and what he knew from the teachings of Christ. He also said that he was in absolute obedience to Christ, and that his highest honor was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you think it's a servant, whether you think it's a slave, William Barclay says a good statement on this word and on this passage. He says, some say it means servant, but a servant is free to come and go as one pleases. A servant is free to come and go as one pleases. A slave is a possession of his master forever. So who is Paul writing to as a slave? Who is it that he is communicating this to? It says, I'm writing to all God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. So Paul is writing to everybody at this particular church who has decided to follow Jesus. He's writing to everybody who has been baptized into the faith. How many of you have been baptized, by the way? Raise your hand. Who wants to get baptized? Who wants to remember their baptism? Okay, October the 2nd, if you do. I've seen somebody's hand go up over there. October the 2nd, we are doing a baptism on the beach. Even if you don't want to get baptized, even if you don't want to make a mark in the sand that says, from this moment on, I want to follow Jesus in a greater capacity, even if you don't want to do that, come anyway and have a hot dog and a burger. It's going to be a great time, October the 2nd. Okay, there were no burgers and hot dogs in Philippi. But Paul says, I'm writing this letter to you, and indeed, those who are presbyters and deacons. These aren't offices in the church. These aren't places like we have today in our denominations. These were places of responsibility. These people were those who cared for the congregation and those who pastored the congregation. And Paul made sure he put these at the beginning of the letter because these people had been providing for him in prison in Rome. And we're going to talk more about that later as the series goes on. So he wanted to make sure that the believers knew and that the church leaders and the deacons knew. And then we got this last verse. We're only in verse 2. It's going to take, maybe it takes longer than 6 weeks to get through. We're on verse 2. And it says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now, notice he says Lord Jesus Christ again. In these two verses, he says Lord Jesus Christ or Lord Jesus or Christ. He says it three times. He's very specific at whom he is talking about, whom he is devoted to, whom he is a slave to, whom he is a servant to. Not all the other gods that are around at the time when Paul is writing this, the Roman gods and the Greek gods. Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he says this in Philippians 82 times. So he's pretty specific. So here we go. He says, Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. These two words are kind of lost on us in English. The grace is the Greek word charis. It's where we get charis, which is anything lovely, anything beautiful, the peace. And he's talking about peace he gets from the Lord Jesus Christ here. And the other word is a Hebrew word, which is irene, peace, grace and peace. Irene means peace, not peace like lack of noise or lack of trash or lack of rubbish going on. It means peace during these situations. It's where the Hebrews get the word shalom. That's a peace in your wholeness. That's a peace in and amongst your entire life. It's peace for your mental health. It's peace for your emotional health. Why am I having these feelings? What do they mean to me? Why am I having them? It's peace in your relationships and those people you might not be talking to right now and you've cast off even though they're your family. It's peace in your physical state. And of course, it's peace in your spiritual state and your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we make our peace, we have grace and peace when we pour into people. People are not trash, amen? People are not things that we discard to one side. And Elizabeth Windsor knew this well. I knew that she was a fun person to be around. I didn't meet her. But everybody who met her, you're going to watch it on their phones and on your TV this week. Everyone who met her said that when she talked to you, that you were the only person that she was talking to. She looked you right in the eye and she cared about you for that very moment. When she was in front of you, shaking your hand amongst the procession of a million other people, only you mattered. Of course, I don't know this. I'm listening to everybody's testimony. And then I heard a story last year when we were celebrating the 70 years of her reign at her Platinum Jubilee. And I knew that she wasn't someone who looked at people as rubbish because of this story. Dickie was her aide. Dickie was her aide, like a security close person that was with her all the time during her life. And last year, he was reflecting on a story when they were in Balmoral Castle together. And when they were in Balmoral is where she passed, fittingly, on Thursday. But when they were in Balmoral, it was kind of a peaceful getaway kind of thing. And they would go for picnics and walking in the hills. Sometimes a lot of people came, and sometimes it was just her and Dickie and maybe one security guard that would come with them as they walked around the wet, soggy hills of Scotland. And they were walking one day, and two tourists came toward them, two people who were hiking, and they didn't recognize who she was. They were from America, of course. And they didn't recognize who she was, and they got talking. It's like, hi, where are you from? Oh, we're visiting from stateside. We're from this place. And they got chatting away, and the tourist said to the queen, do you live near here? And she says, it's like, yeah, I just live down the street here and just down this pathway here. And they says, how long have you lived here? And she says, about 80 years. And Dickie, realizing what was where the queen was going and having fun kind of thing, they then say, you know, a bit of fascination of England, they say, have you ever met the queen? And the queen was like, fast as ever, super quick off the mark. She says, no, I've never met the queen, but Dickie has here. And so the hikers and the tourists got a picture with Dickie because Dickie had met the queen. And Dickie made sure they got a picture with the queen without them knowing kind of thing. And then so the hikers go off and they walk on their way kind of thing. And as they were walking away, the queen says to Dickie, I can't wait to see their faces when they get their pictures and they get home and they realize who they took a picture with. Elizabeth cared about people. Paul cared about people. He went from Saul to Paul and just massive turnaround. And he started to care about people, young people, in fact. Timothy was really young. And he invited them on a journey with them, a mission to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. What rubbish do you see in your own life that you could do without? What trash is surrounding you? What garbage do you see that you could just do without? How do you separate that and focus on the people? My charge to you today is that you live a life of loyalty, that you live a life of freedom by focusing and investing in people, loving people, looking them right in the eye, and telling them that Jesus loves them. Tell them 82 times who we follow, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we invest in people, we realize that life is not rubbish. Amen. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the example of some people on how we should lead. We thank you for the example of Elizabeth Windsor. We thank you, Lord, for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you, Lord God, that through these people and through these examples, you can teach us how to love people. Guide us, Lord, as we do this. Guide us, and may we move from here, when we move from this place, and lead others to follow in you too. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and all of God's people said,